This is number four in the addicted society. And we're certainly living in it. They're addicted to so many different things that it is really something. But, as I covered last time, the most difficult addictions to overcome are substance abuse, be it drugs, legal or illegal, be it whatever other substance that you're going to have. Now, a lot of people say, you know, you ask some people, are you on drugs? They say no. But they don't tell you that smoking pot, they don't consider being a drug. Okay. And so when you look at what is happening, and substance abuse is the worst. Now, a television addiction, it's easier to make up your mind to hit the switch. Pornography addiction is a little harder to do because it's in your mind so much, but you can turn off the computer and not play the DVDs. But substance abuse is entirely different. And people need a lot of help on that. But just like I covered last time, if you do not make up your mind and finally make the decision if you are on substance abuse to quit. And what has happened when people get into substance abuse, they start out and think, well, I can handle it. Well, it's not going to affect me. I'll never get addicted. And they don't understand how powerful that these drugs are. And they don't realize what they're doing to their lives, to their families, mothers and fathers and their own children, etc. Comment was made that what the schools do with Ritalin, and Ritalin is very close to cocaine. And they get addicted and they start at a young age. And the reason that it is because, number one, there's no discipline at home and there's no discipline in school, and they do not have enough men teachers to have enough authority to rule over the boys, and it's mostly boys that are on Ritalin because all of these feminist women cannot handle boys. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. They don't think like boys. They don't think like men. And so the only way they can handle it is drug them out. So here you have a generation coming up that is dumbed down, that is stooped down, that is drugged down, and by time they get to teenage, they're already hooked. Then mix in illicit sex and all the other things that go with it, and you have got a society that is headed for disaster, which we are. Not only Ritalin, but also on the playground. There are those giving it out free and get them hooked early. And what happens in families when substance abuse comes along is that it costs a lot of money. They end up not working, they end up stealing, they lose their homes, they lose their cars, they lose their jobs. Parents trying to help them out, they lie to them, they rob them in the sense that they say they'll do things. I know of one family, they spent $8,000 for 6 weeks rehab. The guy went in there and everything was good, fine, lovely roses, came out and bam, right back to cocaine. Because he, in there, did not come to himself and he did not have a confrontation with God and his word. And that's a key. You've, number one, in order to overcome, because last week I covered repentance, recovery, and reprogramming. There's got to be that repentance first. You've got to come to yourself. You've got to come to God. Not just a matter of admitting, like with Alcoholics Anonymous. Everyone gets up there and says, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. While he's sucking on candy and puffing on a cigarette, he's still an addict. See? Admission won't work. Just like this MSNBC thing in entrapping men coming after children in their pedophilia case, they all said, oh, it's my first time. Then they catch them the second time and they say, oh, I need help. They haven't said, I'm a dirty, rotten pedophile. And I'm repenting to God, never again to get involved in it. No, see. They blame other people. Oh, I need help. Oh, it's a society. No, it's your lust. No, it's your selfishness. All substance abuse revolves around lust, lawlessness, and selfishness. Just for you. You think nothing about your family, think nothing about your children, nothing about your husband, nothing about your wife, nothing about the repercussion on the rest of the family, nothing about the repercussion in the society, nothing about the repercussion of all of those tax dollars going to try and enforce and help and stamp out and everything. And I tell you what, someone said if you want a real eye-opener, go to a big city emergency hospital room on Friday night, where they have all of those who come in with ODs. And what do they have on Friday night to desecrate the Sabbath? All of their parties, all of their rock concerts, all of the things where all of this goes on. And it's something that this society is, as I mentioned in the first one, possessed of the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah and whoredoms, and possessed with the spirit of drugs. And that all comes from Satan the devil. That all comes from the enemies of God. So before a person can really make any progress, he or she has to come to the point of understanding that they have sinned against God, they have sinned against their family, they have sinned against themselves, they have sinned against their bodies, and the only way out is to turn to God. Now, they can, in some cases, make some progress and make some improvement without going to God directly. However, that's very rare and few in between. Very rare and few in between. Now, let's come to Matthew 4. Let's look at something. I mentioned this on another sermon before this, but I'm going to mention it again because it's important. Because a lot of people think, well, if you study the Bible, you're religious. If you believe God, which is different than believing in God, because if you believe in God, you're no different than the demons. They believe in God and tremble. People don't believe God. Well, the Bible is only for those people who want it. And they don't understand that God is going to judge them by the words in this Bible, whether they know it or not. Now, here's the scripture. Let's come here to verse 3. After Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew 4 and verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread, which Jesus could have done just like that. But had he done it, he would have obeyed Satan, and Satan would have become his God, because whoever you obey, that's your God. So if you are a slave of an addiction of any kind, that addiction is your God. You'll work for it. You'll pay for it. You'll lie for it. You'll do anything for it. Some people even kill for it. That's your God. Now, whether you shoot it up in your arms, stick it in your nose, put it in your mouth, that is your God. Now, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, all religious people. No, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, who's man? In this sense, that's the plural of every human being on earth. From the time of Adam till the time that there are no more human beings. Now, let's also understand something else. This does not have to do with just people in the church. This is all human beings who are walking the face of the earth at any time during any point in history. God expects them, if they are not converted, to obey in the letter of the law. If they are converted, to obey in the spirit of the law. Now, also, what else does this tell us? What else does this tell us? that everything in the Old Testament has been endorsed by Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as New Testament replaces the Old. The New Testament spiritually amplifies and magnifies the laws of God, as Jesus said. Now, that's why in the New Testament publication we have the appendix and also in the harmony, how did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? Very important to understand. He did not at any time do away or abolish. Anything that he did to improve from the physical of the old covenant to the spiritual of the new covenant, you will see, was to make the standard higher, to make it spiritual, and to make it permanent. So this tells us that it applies to everyone. Now, we are going to see that while there may be different programs that people can get into in the world, while they may be taught to think positively, while they may be taught to overcome certain things, they haven't come to the fundamental realization that the only way that they can change is through God, through His Word, and through His Spirit. And this is where it has to be. Can't be any other way. For a permanent change. Well, you also have to consider the people who have been raised in a society where God has been removed from their lives, removed from the school, removed from their churches. How do you do it? You have to tell them that the place to begin is you need to find God, and you need to find it in the Word of God, and you need to understand as much help as people can be. God can help you even more. His Word can help you even more. That can help you reprogram your mind. Now, it may seem like a very foreign thing to them to turn to God, but that's the very reason why the Word of God is here, so they can start someplace. They've got to start someplace. So even those who don't believe in God and still make a measurable recovery, well, that's commendable, but everything that they do that it is in a positive way is based somewhere, somehow, on the Word of God, whether it is directly stated or not. Now, let's look at the reprogramming that has to happen. And it is this. When people get involved in addiction, they lower the standards of right and wrong, good and evil. And they blur all of these into a way of thinking where these things are not wrong. And the reason that the addiction comes is because when they get to this point, they have nothing where they can just, you know, say no. They have no standard. They have no foundation. And so this is why in the Word of God, the place to begin is not with conversion. The place to begin is with getting the right things into your mind, and then conversion can come later if that's what God wants. Now, let's come here to Proverbs. Proverbs 7. And the book of Proverbs, as we're going to see, is the place to begin. And the book of Proverbs is not a doctrinal issue concerning salvation, Sabbath, holy days, or any of those things. The book of Proverbs is designed to give all people in the letter, and in many cases the spirit of the law, how they need to live their lives. And this is what is so important. So here's why you need the Word of God. And here's how you begin to do it. Chapter 7, before we get to chapter 7, come over here to chapter 8. And let's review this one. Verse 13. As I mentioned, to admit you have a problem is perhaps the first half step. To really understand that you have a problem, begin to cope with all the consequences of it, and begin to realize what you need to do about it becomes another thing. Verse 13, Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You have got to come to hate what you are doing with such a passion that it gives you a motivation to not do it. And that's the beginning of the fear of the Lord, and that's the beginning of reinstituting a conscience that has been so destroyed by being addicted and compromising everything that you know and that you do. Now, here are the things that cause all the problems that people are in. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth, do I hate? So this means a complete change in thought pattern and behavior. Now, the way that you rewire, come over here to chapter 7, and let's pick it up here in verse 1. So this is going to take some effort. Now, in every one of the recovery programs that they have classes that the different ones attend, and they learn to identify things, and they learn how to get their thinking squared around to a certain rate. But here is the way to break through even that a little bit more. My son, keep my words. You do it through the book of Proverbs. And lay my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Just understand this. For you to live and overcome and survive and get out of this addiction, you've got to keep the commandments of God. And it begins right here in the book of Proverbs. How do you orient your mind? Well, the way you orient your mind and get it reprogrammed is to put the right things in there. So that's what it says here. Keep my law and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. Now this tells us something very important, because this is all about programming the mind and the thinking that you have. So if you've succumbed to any addiction, you've got to reprogram your mind this way. Now, at first, this is going to be very alien to a lot of people, because growing up in a society where God is not around, though they've had the Bible everywhere, it's a difficult proposition. But it can be done. Bind them upon the table of your heart. Now, let's come back here to chapter 3, and let's review it again, where it says it again. And wherever it says something like this, it means that it's important. And in overcoming an addiction, repetition to reprogram is vital. Repetition to reprogram the mind is vital. So key things you have got to repeat and repeat over again and over again. And this is what the book of Proverbs does. Now, let's pick it up here. In verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, mercy and truth then have to do with character, the word of God, commandments of God, right thoughts, and write them on the table of your heart. So this tells us how then, what, rather, we need to do to reprogram the mind. Then it says, so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now let's come over here to chapter 4 again, because this also bears repeating. And this becomes the heart and core and the central way to overcome addictions, and to get yourself reprogrammed where your thinking is getting squared around. Because whenever you're on a substance abuse or addicted to anything, your thinking has been all messed up. And you may have a lot of various mood swings. And as I mentioned before, you may go along and because of health problems that you have brought upon yourself because of the abuse that you have been giving to your body and to your mind, you also need to take care of your health. And sometimes these things will be residual in your body and your liver and come back and hit you again. Well, that's all of the process of getting it out of your system. So you've got to have both the mental reprogramming and the health conditioning in order to get yourself back on the right way. Now, verse 18. Now, here is the difference. Here's part of the reprogramming. Absolutes. Right, wrong. Truth, error. Sin, obedience. And this is what Proverbs does. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. And if you've been addicted to something, think of all the darkness that you have gone through. Think of all the misery that you have suffered and caused other people to suffer. Think about the depressions that you have had. Think about the things that you have brought to others on it. And it is a way of darkness. And here's what happens when you are addicted. They know not at what they stumble. They have fears. They have anxieties. They have all kinds of problems and difficulties because of it, you see. So there is the contrast. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, how many times have we read about the heart here? Three times, right? Yes. Very important. That's part of reprogramming. Now, a simple way to start reprogramming is this. Memorize the Ten Commandments. Memorize them. Then start memorizing some of the Proverbs. And let that be in your mind and go into your mind so that it's, because when it does, your mind is a fantastic thing that God has created and you can reprogram your mind. They've been able to do this with people who have had brain tumors and they've had to take out one half of their brain. And through therapy and reprogramming and teaching, they are able to recover to a very high degree every aspect of thinking and learning and speaking. But they have to really apply themselves to it. So you need to realize how much you need to apply yourself to it. And it talks about it in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh. This is going to give you a good attitude, a positive attitude, a right way, a coming out of the depths of the abuse that you have been in, whether it is substance abuse or whether it is porn addiction or whether it is smoking cigarettes or whatever it is. It will help you. Now, verse 23, again, the fourth time about the heart. Keep your heart. Now, Moffat translates this, guard the door of your mind. To keep your heart, guard the door of your mind with all diligence. You are responsible for what goes into your mind and stays in your mind. Now, some things can go in your mind and you can get them out of your mind. But you have to guard it. Now, here's why. For out of it, that is, out of your heart, are the issues of life, the very thing of how to live, why you're here, where you're going, what are you going to do, how are you going to repair all the damage that has been done because of your addiction, how are you going to find yourself, how are you going to be stable, how are you going to be able to control your emotions, how are you going to do all of these things. See, the deeper the substance abuse and the difficulty that a person is in, the more they have to come back to ground zero and start everything all over again. That's what's important to remember, and that's what you're doing. Out of it are the issues of life. That's why, in being addicted, your life is all messed up. Your life is upside down. A lot of people end up doing crimes and things where, because of drug addictions, they steal, they commit murder, manslaughter, beat up people, and all because they're addicted. We can just stop and think for a minute here. What a fantastic thing is going to be when the kingdom of God is on the earth. None of that's going to happen. Now, there's another book out. I haven't gotten it yet. But I think it's going to be a very good book by Dr. Laura Schlesinger, which is Bad Childhood, Good Life. And the long and short of that book is this. Regardless of what has happened in your childhood or in your life, stop blaming other people. Stop blaming the circumstances. You got yourself in the circumstances, you fell into it, and you gave into it. So you've got to stop saying, well, he did it, or he did it. You know, just like those pedophiles they caught on MSNBC. Oh, this is my first time. I've never done it. Every single one of them. No. Oh, Costco has that book. Bad Childhood, Good Life, $14.95. Let's talk a little bit about Ritalin again, because a comment was brought up that I mentioned, but we'll talk about a little bit more, which is this, which is that kids in school are given Ritalin, and they're innocent victims of it, and they're told that they need this, and then when they get out of school, they're addicted to it, and now they're ripe for cocaine addiction, and they're told that that is wrong. So you see, not only are we dealing with substance abuse, we are dealing with adult abuse of children by giving them drugs. And the whole society, you look, when you watch the news, how many are drug ads? Almost all of them. And it is Satan's endeavor to addict this nation to destroy it. And so it's a perfect setting in an atheistic school where there is no God, where there are feminist women who destroy little boys and they can't control them. Give them drugs, give them drugs, give them drugs. A drug for this, drug for that, drug for the other thing. What did the world do for thousands of years without the drug companies? So what do you do when you grow up and you've been reared on Ritalin? You're still faced with the same choices we're talking about here. If you want to get your life squared around, you're going to have to do this. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are suffering from it and going through it, and it's really quite a difficult thing for them. So this is where we are on it. And also, a lot of parents, they don't want to take care of the kids anymore, so they turn them over to TV, they turn them over to fast foods, they turn them over to video games, they turn them over to unsupervised playing with other children, they turn them over to daycare centers, they turn them over to teachers, and teachers are all frustrated because they can't control the kids because they're not controlled at home. And so you have one great huge problem that is going to impact this nation in the next few years. And the biggest thing we're going to be confronted with is overcoming addiction from those who grew up being addicted to the drugs and to the system and to the way that it is. And I'll tell you what the final solution is going to be to a lot of it. The only way out of it with the state is put the mark of the beast on them so you can control them. So back to what we need to be doing here, because this is an important thing that we need to understand. Because if you're not a child who has been victimized by it, and if you have come through the system and you have grown up in it, and you don't know what to do with your life, and you're fighting all kinds of wrong thoughts, depressions, and all these sort of things, you have got to get on a health cleansing program and a mental cleansing program that does not involve drugs or medications, but where you can use those things to clean your system out and get it functioning correctly so you can begin to think. So the first point in straightening out is get to a point where you can begin to think. Now, chapter 5 talks about the strange woman. Now, let's not use this for just pornography, sex addiction, adultery and fornication, though right now it's being coming out in the news that how many people are addicted to sex and they have sex clubs where they have swinging adults where they swap husbands and wives and all of this sort of thing on carnival cruises and in hotels and things like this. I mean, this world is going nuts. But what it has to be is that you have got to combine some of these proverbs that we have seen, how you've got to hate the evil. Now, if you don't, it says right here, verse 8, remove your way far from her. Now, substitute her for whatever your addiction is. Pornography, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, gambling addiction, food addiction, whatever it is, remove yourself from it and come not near her door. Don't let any of these temptations take you down. Now, come here to the book of James, chapter 1. We'll come here in just a minute. What do you do when a temptation comes along? Because, lo, they're going to come. And they're going to put themselves upon you in a pretty powerful way. What do you do? How do you handle it? Well, you have got to recognize it when it comes. You know what it is. And the temptation is there. Oh, I need something to help me. Oh, I've got this craving. You have got to. Now, I have found this. I've told those who need to overcome smoking addiction and alcohol addiction, and even it has helped out in some cases of cocaine addiction that I've been able to pass on to people who know those who are hooked on cocaine, which is this. Whenever you get an urge, whenever you get a strong feeling for that you've got to have whatever substance it was that you had before, get yourself a whole batch of lemons. And whenever you get a craving, take a lemon, cut a little hole in the small end of it, and then squeeze it and suck on it. And just keep that with you. And squeeze it and suck on it. Very good, because your body is receiving something because it's craving something. And what the lemon juice will do will help cleanse the system, will bring you vitamin C, will help you regain your control. Very important to do. And what the lemon juice does, it helps clean out the liver. Now, you can take as many as you can. When you get too much, your lips may get a little puckered, and you may have a little lemon sore on the inside of your mouth temporarily. But you can overcome that. But that helps cleanse the liver, helps end the urge. Now, let's come here to verse 13, James, the first chapter. James 1, verse 13. Do not let anyone who is tempted say, I'm being tempted by God, because God is not tempted by evil, neither tempts he, and he himself tempts no one with evil. It's your own lust. It is Satan the devil. It is the society around you. Oh, and let's put in there another thing which unhinges your mind and sets you up for all kinds of addiction is the music. The rock music, the rap music, and all of that. And I tell you, the most brainless people in the world are those who drive through the neighborhood with the windows down and their low booming box is going boom, boom, and the whole neighborhood is shaking and every house is shaking as they drive by, and they sit there and nod their heads, hey, I'm cool. Now continuing in verse 14, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed of his own lust. So the temptation comes along and starts drawing you away, and then you're entrapped by your own lust, your own selfishness, your own desire to please the self and to feed the addiction. Now, when you give into that after lust has conceived, so this is a process that takes place, and each point along the line, you can say no. You can get up and run away from it. You can go get away from it. You can replace your thoughts with something else. You can do something else, or in the cases I mentioned, grab a lemon. Okay. After lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So there's a process. All of this you can stop up to the point of sin. And sin, when it is completely finished, brings forth death. That's the end result of all of this. Now let's finish here, verse 16. Do not deceive yourselves, my beloved brethren. Every time you justify giving in to a sin or temptation, you are deceiving yourself and you're staying in deception, and you are serving self and Satan. Now let's talk a little bit about drug addiction for senior citizens. A lot of people are on drugs for many different things. And a lot of senior citizens like to talk about the drugs that they have and kind of say, well, I take this one, I take that one, what do you take? And as a comment was made, the biggest drug pushers now are the pharmacies and the drug companies. If, for example, Jim and Betty Hiles, they're way past 16 into their 70s, they were talking to someone who said, how old are you? And they were surprised when they told them what their age was. And then they said, and by the way, we don't take any medicine. You don't take any medicine? Well, why? They try and take care of themselves and eat right and so forth. So a lot of senior citizens are addicts to the medicines that the doctors give you. And you are as much hooked as the addict who shoots up cocaine or heroin that you condemn. And a lot of it is because you have not taken care of your health as you've gotten older. And that's a struggle. I know what that's like. And I have to take care of my health. And I've had to learn. I've had to just come to myself and say, Fred, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody will. Now, just an aside for people who don't know the Word of God, you need to understand about clean and unclean meats. A lot of sicknesses are caused by pork, by shrimp, by lobster, by all the things that God said don't eat, and there's a reason he said don't eat it, because he wants you to be healthy. All right, now let's get back here on what do you do mentally. how do you handle it mentally? Let's come here to Proverbs 5 and verse 20. Proverbs 5 and verse 20. And will you, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman? Now, as I said, substitute that for whatever the addiction is. Will you be ravaged by marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine? Will you be ravaged by pornography? Will you be ravaged by prescription drugs? Whatever it is, see, just put that in there and that's what it is. And embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of God, and he ponders all his goings. Now, God is there to help you. God is there to give you the strength that you need. That's why the book of Proverbs, as well as the whole Bible. Now, here's the key. You can bank on this. What is it? What is it they say? Take it to the bank. Verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. In other words, he's going to be a complete slave to his lusts and his sins, and that's what's going to control him. Now, if he doesn't get a hold of himself and begin to work at overcoming the addiction, now notice verse 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. That's talking about an awful lot of people in the world today. An awful lot of people in the problems and difficulties that they are in. All right, let's come over here to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Nope, chapter 6. There's some things we need to cover here. In chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 20. Chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Again, reprogramming your mind. Consider your father God. Consider your mother, as it were, the church, but not in the strictest sense. Bind them continually upon your heart. Now notice how many times we've talked about the heart. And what you need to do to control your thoughts. Bind them. Make it a part of the way that you think. Make it a part of the way that you act. Make it a part of the way, because this is the only way you're going to get reprogrammed. It's not going to happen any other way. That's why, as was brought up about some of these programs that are by the state, well, the state can't tell you about God because they're forbidden. So they have a 3-step or 8-step or 12-step program that they go through, and it only takes you so far. And that's why there are so many repeats, as we have mentioned before, that those who go through the drug rehab, sometimes they've got to go through 2 or 3 or 4, sometimes 5 times until they come to the point that they say, oh, I'm tired of it and I got to stop. What happened? Finally made the choice. They've got to quit. So here's a way you won't have to go back and repeat. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. When you awake, it shall talk with you. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Every person talks to himself all day long, right? That's called thinking within. So if you have the laws and commandments of God that you are thinking on, it is going to talk with you as you go. In other words, you're going to think in the right way. It's going to help you overcome. Who said it? What was it, Zig Ziglar or Paul Harvey? Get rid of stinking thinking. I think I even gave some sermons on stinking thinking. If you don't have those, you can write for them.